We come to you again with our studies in the Gospel through John, and we're in chapter 4. I don't know how you folk feel who are listening in day after day, but I've been thrilled as I read and think of these chapters, especially chapters 3 and 4 of this Gospel through John. And when we come to this fourth chapter, when we see the compassion, the tenderness, the kindness, the love of the Savior in his dealing with a sinful Samaritan woman, I couldn't help but wish that we today, all of us who profess the name of Christ, were to manifest some of that same tenderness and love and compassion upon people who are without Christ. Irrespective of how bad they may be, they're the objects of the grace of God. Oh, will you ever remember that God still loves men and women? I don't care what their condition is, or who they are, or where they are, or what they are. God is still long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't care how bad they are. He wants people to come to repentance. Or as Timothy says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the great desire of our hearts, that men and women may know something of the real Savior, Jesus Christ, whom God sent into the world to put away your sin and my sin by the sacrifice of himself, and to know that he's the friend of publicans and sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as Paul could write, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he added, of whom I am chief. Wonderful to know that the Lord today is still on the giving hand, still saving men and women who will come to him. And in this fourth chapter of John, this wonderful story of the tenderness and the compassion and the love of the Savior in dealing with an outcast Samaritan woman, one of the despised ones. Even her own people, the women of the village to which she belonged, despised her, looked down on her, because she came alone at noon to get her water. And when she came to the well, she found a Jewish rabbi sitting on the edge of the well. And, you know, when she came, I'm sure that she kind of hesitated about coming to the well when she saw this Jewish man sitting there. And then to have him say to her, "Woman, give me a drink." And she, you remember, said, "You a Jew? You a Jew and a rabbi? Asking me for a drink? Put yourself under obligation to me?" Yes, friend. If I were teaching psychology, I'd say that's a wonderful lesson of psychology. He put himself under obligation to her. "Give me a drink." This opened the door on a common subject. She was wanting water. The Lord Jesus asked for a drink of water. The topic of conversation became water. And then he said, "If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. If you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst. It'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Sir, give me this water. Go and call your husband." And you remember in giving the introduction to this chapter, I said there were three revelations in the chapter. The revelation of the woman, the revelation of the Father, the revelation of the Son. And here's the revelation of the woman, which I close with in our last lesson. You know, it's possible that you and I might have said, "You mind your own business. Don't you bring up my sin." When Jesus said, "Go and call your husband." "I haven't got a husband." "You're right, you've had five of them. And the fellow you're now living with is not your husband." "Yeah, that's right." "So you're a prophet." She didn't say, "Go and mind your own business." No, sir. This woman opened her heart. Her heart was laid bare, shall I say, in the presence of the one who's the judge, the righteous judge of the universe. And notice the Lord did not condemn her. He offered her the revelation of his Father. This is what this woman needed, was a revelation of God. So we follow through the revelation of the Father in 21 and 22. You see, the woman could have said, "You know, I'm confused. You Jews say our fathers worship in this mountain, but you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, Believe me, the hour cometh, and when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so to a Samaritan outcast woman, he gives the revelation of the Father. You see, my friend, places disappear before the God of all grace. It's not to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, does he make this revelation, but to this outcast woman. What she needs, what the sinful woman needs, is the revelation of God. What the Pharisee needed was a revelation of himself, to realize that he was a sinner needing a Savior. This woman didn't need such a revelation. She knew was a sinner. She knew she was a lost sinner, an outcast sinner. What she needed was a revelation of God. You know, friend, it's an amazing thing. So many people have a distorted idea of God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oftentimes people tell me, Mitchell, I don't believe in your Christ, I don't believe your Bible, but I'm not a pagan. Well, are you not? No, sir, I worship God. You do? What kind of a God do you have? Does he have any interest in you or me? I've said this before and I'm repeating it. God is a spirit. And when Jesus Christ came, you have Jesus Christ, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Spirit of God was upon him without measure. It was pleasing to the Godhead in him all fullness to dwell. And just what I know of Jesus Christ is what I know of God. The revelation of the heart of God, the character of God, the grace and tenderness and love of God is made known through Jesus Christ. And friend, I say it again, and I say it over and over again. Rule Jesus Christ out, and you don't have any revelation of the heart of God for men. You see, that's too blunt. Well, I'm making it blunt. You're making it too simple. I want to make it simple. It's high time we got down to the place of reality, and not to confuse it with the false philosophies of men, or the reasonings of men. God isn't known by reason. God isn't known by research. God is known by revelation, and that revelation is given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. God sent his Son into the earth, into the human race, for the revelation of God to men. When we get to chapter 14, we'll have more to say about that. But God is a spirit. And notice, please, he's looking for worshipers. God is looking for worshipers. God seeketh such to worship him. Well, I thought God was looking for servants. No. No, he's not looking for servants. I thought service was the great thing. No, service ought to be the footage, the outflow of worship. Let me be very clear on this. He's not looking for workers. He's looking for worshippers. And if I'm not a worshipper, if I'm not in fellowship with God, then the work that I do will be a thing of the flesh and not of God. God is seeking worshippers. God is looking down today among the millions of people, and he's looking for worshippers who will worship him in spirit and in truth, whose hearts have been cleansed from sin through the blood of Christ, hearts that have been purged out of all iniquity, hearts that are open to God, to know him, to worship him. You know, it's an amazing thing here, and we're going to see it in the chapter about this dear woman, the revelation to her, how it affected her. But for the present, God calls for heart worship. He calls for reality. I'm not opposed to ceremonies or to forms. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm after is your heart attitude to God. One church says you should do it this way. Another church said you should do it some other way. Never mind. at your own heart, and places disappear before the God of all grace. You can come in the presence of God in your own bedroom, in your car, wherever you may be. You can talk to God. You can have fellowship with God. But you can't come in His presence acceptable unless you come through Jesus Christ, God's Son. For He's the way to the Father. He's the truth that sets you free. And when you accept the Savior, the doors open into the presence of God, where you can worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is a heart matter. It's right down to your very personality. It's not a head thing. Now thank God for your mind being open to truth, and for to be able to realize truth and to know truth. But I tell you, my friend, the great need today is for hearts that have not only been cleansed, but hearts that are in love with the Savior and love to walk with Him, want to please Him. When I think that He loves me with a great, eternal, infinite love, my love ought to respond to that sort of a love. Even though we might be frail, He understands that. So you have the revelation of the Father to Him. By the way, before I leave this, may I suggest this to you? If you want to study sometime about the revelation of God, may I say that in the Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message that God is light, that He's absolute in holiness. In 1 John, chapter 2, 29, and running through chapter 3, verse 7, I find that God is righteous. He's righteous. And in 1 John, chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, I find that God is love. That's the energy of the heart of God toward men. And in Hebrews chapter 12, 29, the last verse of Hebrews 12, what does it say? Our God is a consuming fire, and that speaks of His judgment. I'll give you those verses again if you want them. 1 John 1, 5, He's holy. In 1 John 2, 29, and I think it's 3, 5, or 3, 7, I think it is, God is righteous. In chapter 4, 8 and 16, that is the 8 and 16 verses, God is love. In Hebrews 12, 29, our God is a consuming fire, and that is His judgments. And God is calling for the reality in your heart and my heart for worship. And I say, and out of worship should spring our service for the Lord. It'll be a service of love. It'll not be a chore. It'll not be hard. His commandments are not grievous. You'll be filled with a great yearning to please Him. And that worship produces service. Now in verses 25 and 26 you have the revelation of the Son. Now we had the revelation of the woman. Her conscience is touched. And you have the revelation of the Father. And now you have the revelation of the Son. The woman said to Jesus, I know that Messiah cometh, who is called Christ, and when He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am He. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The revelation of the woman, the revelation of the Father, the revelation of the Son. Who gives this water? I that speak unto thee am He, the Messiah. She wants to worship. She wants to be right. She wants to have living water. And she said, when Messiah comes, He'll straighten everything out. He'll make everything clear. Jesus said, dear woman, I'm the Messiah. I that speak unto thee, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. He reveals Himself to this woman as the Messiah. And this woman accepts the Lord Jesus, the very one whom Israel rejects. Do you remember the first chapter? Verse 11, He came to His own and His own received Him not. Now He is received by an outcast Samaritan woman. Oh, how gracious, how wonderful the Lord is. You know, I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to tell you about this woman, because we have now three missions from 27 to 42. But let me talk about the woman for a moment. She came as an outcast, sinful woman. Now she is joined to the Savior. Her conscience has been stirred, and I take it she accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that Jesus talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what are you seeking? Why do you talk with her? Then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Now you go on to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said to the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. All in a little time, maybe an hour or two. Do you ever think of it? She came as an outcast woman, now she becomes a missionary. Same day. Transformed woman. This woman who was an outcast has been brought into the revelation of the living God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the one who gives living water. And I take it from the context that the woman then accepted the Savior, and she was so thrilled with it. I've got to go back to the town and tell the men. No use telling the women, they wouldn't have accepted it because she was an outcast to them. I'm going to tell the men, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She brought them to Jesus. Listen, she left her water pot. Now remember, she came with her water pot to get natural water. When she left the well, when she left Jesus, she left her water pot, and she herself became the water pot, full of living water. And she went back to the city, full of living water, and told the men, come on, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That was her mission. A transformed woman, cleansed, filled with the water of life, joined to the Savior, and had to go out and tell somebody else and bring them to Jesus. Oh, friend, have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? But, Mr. Mitchell, I need some training. Listen, friend, what has the Lord done for you? Are you satisfied that the Lord has forgiven you and cleansed you of every sin? That he's made you his child? That he's made you fit for the presence of God? And that you're bound for glory, bound for heaven? All this because of the wonderful grace of God manifested in Jesus Christ. Have you ever told anybody about it? Well, I know if I tell them, they won't accept it. That's neither here nor there. This woman was, she became a water pot full of living water. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you and I were to spend more time in the presence of the Savior, reading his word? As we read this gospel through John, take these little incidents, fall in love with the Savior. Look at his tenderness, look at his love, look at his grace. And he takes a woman and transforms her from an outcast woman into a missionary. Did you hear what I said? He took an outcast, sinful, Samaritan, despised woman, and in one day transformed her into a missionary full of living water. And she ran, all that first love. She ran and said to the men of the city, come on, see a man, told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And you notice, they believed on Jesus because of the saying of the woman. And then later on, in verse 42, verse 41, many more believed because of his own word. When they came to Jesus, many more believed. Friend, it wouldn't hurt you one little bit to say a word about the Savior to somebody else today. Do you ever talk to people about the Savior? Or you're going to be rebuffed. And sometimes you have to break down a lot of barriers. That's true. That's true. I know that very well. Some people are so opposed, naturally opposed to the gospel. But they're sinners. They need a savior. And if you and I don't tell them, who will? Oh, God grant we'll get this little message from chapter 4 of John of how a woman was absolutely transformed in one day into a flaming evangel, if you please, a missionary full of living water and used by God to bring the men to Christ. May God grant that you and I will have that same joyful experience today of bearing testimony to our Savior, our wonderful, gracious, loving Savior, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if I'm talking to you, my friend, and you've never accepted the Savior, may I say this, that you can be saved right where you are right now by putting your trust in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And the Lord bless you today for His name's sake.